Welcome to Elite Cadre, the Warsheet podcast that doesn't take itself too seriously. I'm Mike.
I'm Kurt.
And I'm Tom.
It's just three of us. This time it's going to be chill, it's going to be relaxed. We're not going to have anyone, you know, having to go to sleep halfway through the episode. We may put you to sleep halfway through the episode, but, you know, it's fine. It's fine.
No one in a submarine. Okay.
Ah, yes, broadcasting all the way from the 1986 Mexico World Cup. No more of Alex Smith. Anyway, moving on. We've recently had a one of the larger 2-day tournaments to be held in the Southwest. I think it's fair to say.
Yeah. I mean, in recent times, I could say it's the largest in the Southwest for quite a few years.
Yeah. So that was the Spring Storm Ranger, I think it was.
Yeah.
Which all three of us went to, which is, I think that makes it a relative rarity.
Definitely. Akin to the Welsh. That's the other time it's happened.
Madness.
I know.
So,
I was there.
These days, anyway.
I wasn't so much playing, but I was there.
Are you running the thing? I mean, you kept for double base, so... Cause you, if you wanted to, you could have popped along and seen all the games in action as they happened and gone through the whole thing. So, yeah. I mean, how do we want to go about this? Do we want to go with the tournament organizers first, or the two players first? What do we think?
I mean, I'll go first.
Go on.
I mean, there's not a whole lot to say. It went well. I got really good feedback, and there will definitely be more in the future. But I think it will probably be a once a year event, sticking to about the same time slot of second half of February, and we'll go from there. But next time, I'll be sure to book out the other room in the hall and aim a bit higher, maybe 28, 30 players, potentially, hopefully.
Go for a high ceiling there. But yeah, there's. I think with the growing player base in the UK, there's certainly room for an event of that size, certainly in the Southwest, which has often been a little perhaps underserved with events, certainly for Mark 2, 3.
It's had its moments. There were some, but no, not for some time. Certainly, it hasn't been well served for quite some time.
Yeah. So, what I would say is, from a player point of view, certainly, Tiverton is nice and easy to get to, so long as you can get to the M5?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So long as you can get to the M5, absolute doddle to get to. And there is a Premier Inn nearby. Should you need to stay over for your 2-day event. Venue itself. Yeah, pretty good. Decently spacious, even for me. So that is always a plus. And it was also accessible because there was one person there who, you know, needed some good accessibility requirements, and that seemed to work out quite well for them.
He fed back and said, I think it was actually on air on the Blackwater Cantina podcast, that it was one of the better events he'd been to for accessibility, which I'm really chuffed with.
Yeah, it's not from a lot of the venues. I'd say a lot of venues would have problems. I think Firestorm is about the only other mostly problem-free venue I've ever seen. Certainly, you wouldn't want to trust accessibility requirements at the Northwest Gaming Centre. That's its own devil, quite frankly. But had also access to a kitchen to make cups of tea and whatnot. And as a real positive, chippy run. Yeah, that's nice. Knowing that your lunch is taken care of. You gotta take care of the basic things.
Oh, I agree.
Bring your own sandwiches if you want, but fine.
I did.
I will be having words with the chippy next year to say, can you at least write on the packages to say what's what?
Oh my god.
Rather be getting random portions of chips and sausages turning up everywhere, and like, okay, fine. For myself, it was, good venue. Very good. Couple of days out, playing somewhere different and meeting a completely different crowd of ourselves. Games-wise, went 3-1 overall, which, you know, for me is pretty good. That's like Mark II levels of quality. It's pretty good. With the loss being to one Marty Jenkins, who... I've never beaten the man. I don't think I ever will. But it's three very fun games. Mostly where I got Vilkul on the table and just did Vilkul things. Either assassinated or put people in positions where they just didn't want to be within the bubble of Vilkul death. So, one thing I have learned about this tournament, and I don't think it ever would have really changed in the results, is that sadly the Iron Fang. I always forget the name of this unit. The Shock Trooper Pikemen.
Yeah,
that's it. Shock Trooper Pikemen. It's not particularly clear from the rule itself, but their flank is friendly faction on Warjacks, so it doesn't work with Invictus.
Invictus. Oh.
Yeah. One thing also of note that we kind of sat there and did some measurements on. So because of the bubble of flank, it actually works out better to have a normal Warjack with a 2-inch weapon than Behemoth, because he's only got 1-inch fit, so he affects less of the table with his flank bubble.
I mean, you could go the other way and just take the Mastodon with 3.
I mean, you could. That feels like taking the mick, though. Also, the charge lanes for that get a bit weird, because you've got to have your units very spread out there. Overall, I think, you know, a decent tournament for me. How about yourself, Kurt?
I've really enjoyed it. I think I knew... There's a few new people, actually. It was good to see the group come up from Exeter. Despite being fairly close to Exeter, I don't feel like we have haven't had a fantastic connection with the player base there, and it was fantastic to see Mike, as you mentioned, and guys from Paul and Dorset come up. Despite having lived there for quite some time, I didn't know any of them before. Mike used to live nearby to me, so I played him before. I saw him last year as Welsh as well. I ended up 2-2. I had some fantastic games. It was really good fun. So I enjoyed myself. Interestingly, you talk about Martin. On Martin's return to the game, I did, when he first came down to Tiverton, I played him in his first round and his first kind of event in Mark 4, and I won because he had miscounted how many points ahead you need to be to win. And I think that's the only time I will ever beat mine, and I'm going to hang on to that for dear life, because that's I'm never going to beat him again. So I'm well aware of how good player is. But it was a fantastic weekend. Novel to go to a two-day event and go home in between. That's a new one for me. I've never done that before. It's usually, as you say, staying in a travel lodge or something similar. But because it was less than an hour away, it was like, there's no point in renting a hotel to drive 50 minutes. I might as well go home and come back.
Yeah.
It was really good. Fantastic opponents. Really enjoyed all my games. But apart from the last one, I didn't enjoy the last game. It was a fantastic game until the table collapsed. So yeah, I won't bring it up and make a drama out of it. And so we definitely had an incident that was really unfortunate. As we were saying off mic earlier on, steps have been made to ensure that it would not happen again. And we have reinforced Dom has reinforced the legs on the tables.
I will say that.
Well, I was going to say, and this solution was proven when we'd Velcroed up the join of all the tables, because that's what we've done. We've put Velcro around where the support strut bends, and we just finished doing all the tables with boxes and stuff on top, of course. Dan walks in and we say, oh, we've just fixed the table. He goes, really? Gives the table a solid kick.
Touch it twice.
Yeah, that works.
I mean, if you're going to test it, I had to do a real world test, but...
Very true.
Yeah.
I was going to say
But it was a fantastic event. Thank you very much, Dominic. It was an awesome event. Really good fun.
I will say
players coming down.
The moment where that table collapsed was the second loudest silence I have ever heard in War Machine.
Oh, it was just...
Mm-hmm.
The first being the guy at the Northwest Gaming Centre who was going up the central stairwell, so not the outside one, and had a full metal Legion army and got to two steps from the top before just absolutely flying across the floor and just watching that army shatter in front of me. Oh, words cannot say how bad that was.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I mean, you don't want to see that happen to anyone's army, but at least the chances with resin that some of it might survive these days. But hopefully that's all worked out okay.
Yeah, the actual damage was all eminently repairable. And the models that were worst hit didn't have any paint on them, so it could have been significantly worse. Of course, I don't want that to happen to anyone.
No.
But there was some fortune on my side for that.
Yeah, it does bring back memories of the days of Mark II when I actually dropped one of my Kador models It's one of my one of the first models I painted. It was a Kador Destroyer. And you know those things. They were just a hunk of white metal. I was expecting just arms and legs flying everywhere. Instead, it went off the table and just went, thunk, just landed. Paint side down on the floor. Didn't even chip. It's like, that's just take the
three. Leave a dent in the floor.
Yes.
The floor tile was broken. Yeah.
Three foot fall onto concrete. Nothing. Fine. Okay. Back on the table. You go. That was actually... That's actually down south as well.
Because I've dropped models whilst painting and broken them, especially more the first wave of Mark IV dropped. You know, the early resin that was a bit fragile, Mark IV. Yeah. And I have broken models just literally dropping them at my feet whilst painting.
Oh, my classic one for that is for the first SmogCon. I came home in the middle of a work day to dip some.
Mercenaries.
Halberdiers. Who had I don't know, a quick paint job on them. I don't know, just gonna dip them, bring them back in, all, you know, and let them dry over the second half of the workday. Of course, I dropped the tray on the way in, and yeah, dip halberdiers everywhere, shoulder pads flying off. It's like, I have no time to fix this. I'll just prop it when I can and see if I can salvage it later. Luckily, the halberdiers, no one noticed. Yeah. Oh, that unit was just so bad anyway. And anyone who has stuck together metal steelhead halberdiers, 30 of them, you have my sympathy. People talk.
You reminded me of the elves as well, Selena.
Nis.
And her unit of elves.
I was going to go on to that. People say the Nis were bad. I maintain the halberdiers were worse.
I've done both. I agree that halberdiers were more frustrating, but the Nis were worse because it would draw blood, because you'd be holding it so hard and for so long for the superglue to join the two bits of metal together that the pointy spike would go through your skin and you hadn't noticed, and when you pulled it away there was blood on the model.
Do you know how I solved that and didn't actually cut myself on the Nis?
Go on, how?
I pinned.
Not by them.
I pinned them.
Oh, fuck it, it's tiny.
Yes.
Yeah, but not with a modern electric drill. You must have...
I did that with a hand drill, mate.
I was going to say, we didn't have those then. I only got one because you said about it for Christmas and I put it on my wish list like 2 years ago.
Yep, I pinned the Nis with a hand drill. Admittedly, All the quivers and scabbards and everything else like that, I was like, nope, not bothering. There we go, in the box. Like, I don't care about those at all, not bothering.
But you didn't even stick them on, obviously.
Nope. However, the bows
this is
and
not,
swords...
This is not an identifiable weapon.
Yeah. Normally on models now, you have little grooves and stuff and like places where you can obviously glue the quiver or the scabbard. Nope, they don't have any of that. So it's like, nope, they're just carrying their weapons with them. Tough. Don't care. So I had something of a moment with the Nis. It's like, nope, they're just having their actual weapons. And that's it. And that's good.
No ammo whatsoever.
No.
You're only going to shoot once anyway and then get run over.
Nis shooting twice. Good luck.
Yes.
But even then, there was no ammo in those quivers. They were purely for, like, attaching a bow to. They never had anything sticking out of them, if I remember.
They're not even feathers? I thought they had some feathers.
I don't think they did.
I can't picture them properly right now, but yeah. I could go and get them. They're in a garage. I've still got mine. I'm not painted. Mine were primed white and left.
I mean,
I've never even painted my Nis. I've still got them.
I do have, about... That, you know, 2 foot behind me, Selena, but not that version, because it's the Frozen and Forgotten one.
Yeah,
you bother. Oh no, they did have arrows.
I thought they had little feathery bits. Yeah.
Oh god. I've just found a shop that actually has three of them for sale.
Yo.
Yeah.
Good luck to them.
I know where the shop is as well. It's in Liverpool. So if you do want retro Nis hunters. Wargamestore.com. They have three of them for, and this just, a unit of Nis Hunters, £46.
Oh my god. No, thanks. I'm good.
That's,
yeah.
I think you buy Entire Mark II armies for that price these days, but.
We'll come on to that.
We are getting close to it. So I'm just trying to think if I've got any other thoughts on Storm Range. Oh, yes! So, for the actual prizes, Dom, you had, I'm guessing this is your idea, the little kind of, I want to say portraits?
The 3D printed ones.
Yeah!
Mm.
Talk about those.
Yeah. That it came out of just messing around with the tools on the software for my printer. And there is a actual product called Hue Forge that does this kind of thing. Bamboo being bamboo have completely knocked it off and done their own version, and I was just messing around with it to see what it looked like, what I could do with it. And so first one I did, I think the first one I ever did is now in your possession.
Oh, Vilcor.
Because, oh no, I thought you'd grabbed Baron Nova.
No, but, see, I played Vilcor all weekend, so I was like, nope, I'm having Vilcor.
Ah. I'd grabbed
the Baron Nova print.
Yes, that's where. But yeah, I'd grabbed a picture of Baron Nova, loaded it up in the software, and it was like, oh yeah, you can print this really looking nicely. It's like 3D, 2.5D art with layered colours in, and it will try and do a bit of blending through layer thickness. And I thought, that looks really fun. Let's play around with a few more. And I ended up with, I aimed for two of each Mark IV faction and a couple of Mercs. And I might have put in Gearheart as well, because I knew that there was going to be a Gearheart fanboy at the event as well. But they came out really well. And they went down really well. Everyone loved them.
Yeah, no, they were really good, really fun idea, and something actually, yeah, pretty unique. The closest I've seen before was, and I have to go back to Martin Jenkins here, who gave out they weren't quite framed prints, as I worked out later once I had to change the frame on mine, because I got Fenris. I had a framed Fenris for coming last in Kador. At the Welsh Open many years ago. I only found out when I kind of had to alter the frame a little. What he'd done was he bought up loads of secondhand army books and just cut them out from there.
Is that right?
Yeah. Because if you look at the back, it's like, I ain't gone. Why are Doom Reavers on the back of this?
I've never looked. So I've got the Gator Man one, because I think I must have done the same thing and come last with minions that year.
But
awesome.
There you go. So that was a very nice little thing. And like, you got an awful lot of like, here are the prizes from previous events. Enjoy. And I did love the complete set of objectives for this year as well. That was very nice.
They were great.
Yeah.
I mean, it's something nice. People who have been to my events before know that I like to just let everyone come away with something.
Mm.
And objective tokens are really easy to do. But also with the steamroller having changed, I think it was barely 4 weeks before the event.
Yeah.
And drastically changing the objective requirements, it also solved a problem in making sure that everyone had all the potential objectives they needed. Because, again, that kind of started of me printing out, or considering printing out, a bunch of placeholders that I could use if people needed it, turned up without enough, and we got, what's it called, pressure point with all the flags.
Mm.
And it then actually went on from there, like, oh, actually, I've got 20 people turning up. I've got enough different colours on the shelf. I could just do a set for everyone. Everyone gets something nice. Everyone feels good about themselves. And I don't have to worry about people not having enough objectives.
Yeah, no, that was very nice.
It goes back to Martin Jenkins again, doesn't it? That's the nice thing about the Welsh is that it's rare that I've gone to Welsh and not come away empty-handed. There's always, you tend to get something, even if it's just dice for turning up, but then there's so many other random things and prizes and the raffles and
he did all kinds of things.
He did seem personally offended there were no dice last year.
Yeah.
So,
let's not go down that rabbit hole.
Yeah. Actually, we've mentioned that out of interest. Now that we've actually had a little bit more time, with this current steamroller, have our feelings changed on it? I'm just garbled.
I think I was fairly positive on the first discussion. I think that the fact there are seven means choosing is a bit harder. That's not exactly a big complaint.
Get your D7s out.
Oh yeah, I've overrun with them. D8 in a reroll, isn't there?
Yeah.
Start, dig out a D8 and put it in my case.
Use the OnRender website.
Sorry.
Use the OnRender website. SR26. Is it OnRender or something like that?
SR26.onrender.com. Does that have a randomizer?
That's the one. Yeah. Next to the drop-down box, there's a little button for randomize.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That's neat.
Wait, were you doing that on Thursday? I was stood next to you. I didn't notice.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, it looks like a refresh symbol. But yes, it's a randomizer.
There's me rolling a dice with Kieran, working out what we were playing. And then you've just gone, which one? That one. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We're living in the past.
I did not notice. I've always... I always put my phone down in the middle of the table, push the button and go, oh yeah, we're playing this one.
I am living in the past, you're right.
To be honest, anyone who shows any form of initiative with what scenario we're playing on casual nights, that's good enough. Because normally the first people set up and the second people turn up go, what scenario are you playing? Yeah, we'll play that one.
So we've rolled separately and ended up with three tables playing the same one more than once.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so my dice are not weighted.
Except for Adam.
See, I was going to say, having now played more of the new scenarios, I think so the ones we had at certainly at Fault Line, that I think is a seal club of the scenario because of the bonus VPs. If you are
win more, isn't it? It's a win more scenario. Once you go, if you go ahead, you go ahead.
I mean, yeah, I went up 5-1 on the first scoring round, and at that point, the game is done. How do you come back from that if you're not contesting any of the far objectives and only one of your like it's rough.
Yeah, that's tall order.
I don't think it's a bad scenario. I think it's new players will have the big problem. Fault Line, by the way, being the one that's got six objectives across the middle, sort of in a diagonal line, 40s on the outside, 50s in the middle.
I suppose in some ways the fact that you have to keep an eye on it and you mustn't let your opponent go ahead.
Yeah.
Is indirectly affected my game as well, in a sense that I assassinated, but because he pushed so hard up the table,
yeah,
and was confident, fairly confident that he was enough out of reach, and he wasn't.
I think if you've got two players who know the scenario, you'll have it's a good scenario. If you've got one player who is not as in touch with Steamroller, that becomes a bad time very quickly. At least I suppose it ends the game quicker for them, but yeah, played high stakes as well with the removing tokens. I think I've seen one explosion so far in tokens.
I've never seen anything happen for that. Yeah.
I think perhaps rather than five tokens, maybe three would have been better, but that would possibly lead to an instant explosion. So I mean,
is that such a bad thing?
Is it? Yeah, it's a good point. See, I actually quite like the scenario and how it's laid out. Obviously, it's got flags, so still kind of a little bit of a problem, but. In this scenario, not the worst thing in the world, because I don't think it disadvantages you too much on play. Yeah, I think those countdown times could go down, even if it's just a four. At the moment, I don't think there's not enough explosions, damn it. There could always be more. How do you feel, Kurt? Or Dom?
I like it. I agree with you. It never seems to happen. I've never seen it happen. Not on my table or anybody next to me. Obviously, it does, but it takes... Maybe it's about more advanced players in some respects, because they do say about that you're... Your skill or advancement or maturity in the game, that's the better word, is about how long your games go. So if both of you are more mature in your gaming, the games go longer, in which case it's probably more likely to happen. But most of us are still a bit shoot from the hip in our, we like to think we haven't played it a long time, but I still think we're a bit shoot from the hip. We're not playing at the, we're not Jamie Perkins, we're not pretending to be.
We play Vibes Machine.
Yeah.
Damn right.
Yeah.
I'm proud.
I mean, yeah, for me, I think the main scenario where the points will go down is when someone's scoring the middle and it's not contested.
Yeah.
And the chances are the game's already over if someone's scoring the middle.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's entirely correct. Although that said, the game of high stakes I did play with Martin, we did have an explosion and that one ended 17-10 to Martin.
Wow.
Yeah, that was highly... Well, it basically got to a point where I just ran out of forces.
When you go 3 points down at the end of your turn, you're supposed to stop, don't you?
Yeah. But don't forget, on that last turn, he was getting a two-pointer for one, and then one-pointer for some others.
Sounds like he stitched you up.
I mean,
we should keep playing, Mike. No, we should keep playing.
I mean, yeah, that's kind of what it was. But no, there was a point where I was in front, but I was losing stuff too fast and couldn't keep in front. So it was a good game. I got Martined. Third scenario we had was two fronts, which... I mean, that's been there for a while now. 250s, 240s.
I do like the new layout for it.
Shame.
The 40s and... Yeah, the 40s and the 50s, they used to be directly opposite each other so that you could score both with a single jack or a single unit. I don't know that that's entirely possible anymore. They're quite a bit further apart because they're split diagonally.
The central flag has also been moved slightly toward the attacking player. those measurements are wildly different from what they were. The defending player stuff has been moved more towards the centre and closer to...
I mean, that reminds me of a general point. I think it's occurring to me as we get into more games that in some cases going second is better for scoring. You can take such a lead if you go second and you're a bit aggressive, putting yourself in a strong position so the first player is coming into contest to try and make sure you don't run away with it. you can either push them away or wipe them out on the pieces that they're holding, on the pieces that they're trying to contest. And as second player, you can take quite a commanding lead. And if you have either some kind of control feat or a feat that makes it very difficult for them to come back at you, pushing them back, killing a few off, and then popping that ability or feat, I think going second in... I can't tell you which ones. There's some of them are better than others, but it's definitely significant.
See, I've always been of the opinion that going second is better because you then get the chance to be the first player to score. And at the point where
I don't know if I agree, it's always been better because I think the aggressiveness of being first player, coming across the table, standing in the middle and going, well, you can't get to me, and if you come forward, I'm going to kick you in the teeth. That is still strong and has always been strong. Sorry?
I'd say there's an element of that that's true, but I think that also that with a lot of people wanting to stand at the maximum out of threat range as much as they can,
yeah,
being player two and going, yeah, I claim my objectives and I run this solo in. I repo this model onto your objective. You score nothing, I score. That's incredibly powerful. I will say it doesn't work for all of them, and I will agree that, yes, there are some people who can alpha out of nowhere and just wreck your life for doing that. But yeah, certainly. I think going second is strong. I think there's meant to be like one scenario where that doesn't quite work. But I couldn't tell you off the top of my head which one it is.
No, I can't either. But yes, I get the same impression.
And then the final one go on.
I was going to say, don't forget, Kurt, you're currently talking to two people who play factions that excel at, well, I'm going to stand here and then just weather the storm. Good luck to you.
Yeah, there is an element of that. If I take my Sikora list, it's like, oh, okay, yeah, sure. The amount of times I've played the Sikora list, moved the Wrecking Crew forwards, and people have gone, all right, so what's their armor? 23.
A lot.
Oh, all right, so they're 21, and with your feet, they're 23. No, they're 23, and with my feet, they're 25. Oh. And just...
Bear with me a minute, I'm just going to pop outside.
There's just this moment where you see them having to recalculate everything on the board. Like, oh, so
kill
you're...
that, can't kill that.
Your other
can't
ones are 21. That. Yeah, the amount of times people just hit 25 or 21 armor and just cannot crack you. And then I'll just have Alexia walk up behind and go, and the guy's back again, enjoy.
No!
It gets even worse if I get the mechanic there as well. It's like, oh, he comes back on one life. Four life.
Yeah.
I mean, it's relatively rare when you do it, but it's so... But yes, the final one we had was...
Trench Warfare.
Which... it hasn't changed. I think this one's still good. I've got no further opinion on the matter, I think. I think Trench Warfare is pretty...
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
I can't even remember how this one's changed.
I'm not sure it did. I don't know. Yeah, as you say, I'm not sure. If you say that it's the way it has changed, I don't know if I could argue with you either way. Seems very much the same. Things, the objectives move very slightly. I think that's all I could think that may have actually happened. I'm not even sure. I'm confident that that is the case.
50s are... There's some slight measurements changes, but purely from the view of, oh, yes, that's what's happened. Stuff has been pushed slightly more to the center line between the players. So it forces you more out of your deployment zone and to walk forwards, although given everything's kill box now.
And I'd say, as a general point, I think more things are closer to the outer edges, as in left and right. There are lots of flags and lots of things that are further out. The scenarios are more of the scenarios are wider. There you go, that's the term.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I mean, that's an observation we had when the pack first came out, in that everything has been pushed more towards the centre line between the two players, and everything has been slightly spread out more across the table.
I like it.
Which is, it's forcing choices. It's forcing choices early on. And in at least one game, I had that moment of, oh, no, I've deployed completely wrong for this scenario. So at least one turn was spent with some pikemen just running across my deployment zone. It's like, they need to be over there.
I definitely didn't do that a few weeks ago at Dom's house.
Oh, dear. So.
Yeah, lessons learned.
But yes, since the Storm Rager, I've actually gone and played another tournament. I went to a team tournament at the local store, Board in Brum. Which was run by Chris Dacre, Iron Trident three-man team tournament, in which I was thrown under the bus unceremoniously and repeatedly. It was, oh boy, to find my Longshanks page for this, it's a doozy. First game I had Jan from London playing his Grimkin, which I tried to assassinate with Vilkul, and he went no, just moved away. Like,
was this before or after the rules update?
Don't know. Don't remember. Either way, he just walked away, and I was very sad. Because I'd forgotten they had that particular ability. So Vilkul just kind of sat there going, woo!
Did he play the Arcana cards on your turn or on his turn?
On mine.
Ah, pre-rolls then.
Okay. But yes, I still hate facing Grimkin in just every way possible. Also faced into Thornfall Alliance, played by Tom Wheaton's, which that was a good close game. Ended up with an assassination on Vilkul, but yeah, very, very close. Game 3 was against local player Simon Wellstead. So
I just read his name. I went, I know that name. Yes.
This game ended with 0 CPs to either player and a total of 10 VPs scored in total. I went first, moved up a bit, not much. He was also playing Kador. He got the girl on the bear, name I always forget, Yana. Yep.
Yana.
And just dash runner forwards. Right. How many focus on your caster? Just the one. Just do a quick bit of measuring. I think I can get you. So Vilkul went for a turn two assassination, killing nothing else in the entire game. The only thing was, I'd made sure to move up so I could do combat coordination on Vilkul. I didn't have to use it because I was running decent damage, and just the last damage just completely, 1-2-1. That fails the assassination. I needed a 12. Combat coordination, reroll, 12. Yes!
Nice. That was your third game. I've just noticed you played the man, the myth, the legend in round two, Mr. Wiggins.
Yes, I did. I did say that.
Yeah, I missed that. I was jumping on to expert. I like your team name, by the way. A local team for local people.
It was a local team for local people.
Nothing for you here.
Yeah, and I think the other Warsaw team was like Yank from round here, am you?
Which, yeah, sure, but
yeah. Game 4 played into Gav Beckett of Flail fame.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
And playing the Cricks, that was a very, very, very cagey game. Cast did he have? Oh, that's right. Played Sepsira. Just end up assassinating Vilkul at the end. But it was actually a very interesting layout for the team tournament as well. Because rather than having scenarios per round, just to make sure that the tables were properly set up for each scenario, each table had its own scenario.
Oh, cool.
Which, of course, you know, when you're doing a team tournament and it becomes part of the pairing process, it's like, okay, which scenario don't you want? Which scenario do you want? Is this table good for you? Is it good for you on the scenario? That's a little
interesting.
Yeah, a little interesting layer to everything. Which meant that I was able to go, I don't want to play payload.
And they ignored you and we play payload.
No, I got pressure point, high stakes, and wolves at their heels twice. I thought that worked. I would say it would only work in a team tournament because I've played events that have done one scenario per table before, and that was really weird. Especially when, you may remember this, Kurt. It was a rather Ross and Y tournaments.
I wonder if you could say that. Yeah.
Yeah, where there was things like so if people don't remember the original Killbox scenario, it was a 24-inch square in the centre of the table. And if you weren't in there, you'd cast a die. The problem with their version of the scenario was that they'd set it up so that the Killbox was marked by walls on all sides.
Oh yeah, I forgot that. Yeah.
It's like, what are you doing? It was a lovely idea, but oh boy, never do it again. There was the one with the two big circles in the middle, and they were hills. I was like, this is madness on all fronts. I can't take this anymore.
Oh yes, it was all the terrain, all the scenario kind of areas were represented by terrain, like on a lot of tables, weren't they? Yeah.
It was so weird.
It's a lovely idea, but no.
Sure, experiment. If it's a fun tournament or just like you're going for a low points introductory thing, like, yeah, sure, do something like that because it's just it's a bit of fun. It's nice. If you want a well balanced, well rounded tournament environment, please don't. Please just don't.
I always enjoy going to Russell Moore.
It was a decent place. Even if it was on occasion the coldest scout hut in the world.
It was.
It's one of those places where you could see your breath on there in the morning. So yes.
And the lights were an interesting tone, but it worked.
Yes. So I would say Chris Staker is, I think, planning to run more tournaments in future. So I would watch out for more things that he's running. Iron Trident was really well run for quite a few players that were in the building. Although a lot of people were expecting the pair-ups to go the other way. And so I'd only thought about staying for three rounds. So when it went to round four, that was quite kind of a problem. So the Welsh team would just have to go. I was like, oh, okay.
Oh, wow.
Yes. No, we had a couple of those. But overall, very good day. And yeah, it's all good. Yeah.
Excellent.
Next on a list of topics for talking about, we did have was it Frontier?
Yes.
3D printing. I'll let people who know more about that than me talk about it. So, don't know if you want to.
Okay. So first things first, Frontier is the Kickstarter equivalent platform for My Mini Factory, which is where SFG used to distribute all their 3D files. And after getting a bunch of complaints about how Crucible Guard was coming out, in that people were struggling to make armies and lists without certain releases, which is a fair criticism, rather than doing the same for the legacy factions that they spoke about at last year's Adepticon, they've said, you know what, let's just you get all your files all in one go at the end of the Frontier campaign, and that is for Grimkin, Infernals, and Convergence of Cyrus. And it started at the time of recording last week, and it will conclude next week. And I tell you, it is the cheapest way to buy three armies you will ever get. Absolutely.
I was going to say, 1st of April, does it end? Something like that? Or is it 31st of March?
Yeah.
That kind of date, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes, this time next week.
Yeah, so, I know the advertising that I'm getting through by email certainly is, do you want a full War Machine army for $149? Which I don't know about what that gives you, but that is crazy.
It's cheaper than that. It's cheaper than that. If you buy all three, you get it for $299.
Which
is £270, including taxes, for three whole armies, which is STLs for all of the prime legal models in those three armies. If you were going to say, I'm going to buy a second-hand army in its entirety, £300 for just one army would be a steal at that price, and this is three.
Yeah, yes, yeah, so the three armies collection, so I'm just looking at it now, all prime Grimkin STLs, 52 of them, all the Infernals, 42, all the Convergence ones, 51. Interesting, they're including the Forces of books.
Yeah, and the relevant and PDFs.
And Oblivion as PDFs.
Oh, I didn't see that. Well, I didn't realize that.
Yeah,
wow.
So Forces of Grimkin, Forces of Convergence Series, and Oblivion in PDF, and the War Machine Rules PDF.
I mean, Oblivion is basically Forces of Infernals.
Yes, some extra bits and pieces in there, but yeah. Also, if you're going in on the Infernals one, you get the new Infernal Master, Volgaroth.
Yep, that's going to be a nightmare.
I mean, it's Infernal. It's all bad all the way down. Some of these have actually been redone as well from their original version.
Definitely. There's definitely some resculpts in amongst it. You can see from some of the models, but it's not. Some of it's not obvious. Some of it's really, really clear. But there's some resculpts.
Yeah. I'm just kind of taking a brief scroll through. And I know that certainly there's been a lot of talk about redone rules for some of these as well. And
we've had all that. We've had some revised rules fairly recently, released into the app, updated. The things like the first gen heavies for Convergence, they are modular models, so that means because the bodies were subtly different in the original, and this time they've unified them, so having different heads and weapons. So I don't know if it's magnetizable. Everything's magnetizable, but I don't know if it comes with the slots or anything else, or if it's something to be customized. But that's quite intriguing.
I think it will. I
would assume so, but didn't do them with them before, but it'd be quite interesting to see how that pans out. Some of the models look identical. Some of the models are subtly different. Depends when they came out, I think, to an extent, and what kind of level of files that SFG were able to start with as a basis.
Yeah, it's interesting just looking at all the conversions going, I still don't know what these do.
I've been learning, but we'll come back to that.
Yes. Was Father Luke in one of them? Yes.
He's got a new sculpt. And a new base. He's 80 mil now rather than 50.
Yeah, he's 80 mil, which is insane.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, a very, very nice, like, scenic convergence base to go.
It's awesome, isn't it? I like that a lot. Okay, it's just got a lot of potential. It's got a lot of potential for it. I mean, I was putting off getting a 3D printer for the longest time. And obviously, talking to Dom about it a lot and seeing him printing it and seeing his trials and tribulations with the start of 3D printing. He went through the pain of it in the early days. How long ago did you first buy a printer?
Oh, early COVID was my first one, I think.
Okay, go back that far. Yeah, I was thinking 3 or 4 years. It's a bit more than that. And I postponed it. And then it was another one of our friends bought one, who is significantly less technical in his career and background than Dom or I. And he's been flying with it. So I was a bit like Black Friday back in November. I was like, right. And it's amazing. I love it. My printer has not been running for a few days because I've run out of things I actually want to print. But that's the first time since November that I've not had a stack of things I want to print all the time.
So you're waiting for the Frontier campaign to complete so you can print entire Convergence out.
Pretty much.
He's already printed one.
I have. We'll come on. Let's do that at the hobby table, shall we?
Okay, fair enough.
All right.
Go on.
I was going to say, I looked the other day, my printer, my current one, is about a year and a half old now, I think. I checked to see how many hours I had on it. I'm pushing 2,600.
Where did you find that? Is that on the printer itself?
Yeah, it's a bit buried in one of the menus, but I'll tell you where to look.
I'll have a look.
I'll send you a message when I find it again.
I'll have a dig through settings. I didn't know you could do that. That makes sense. I don't think I want to know. But it's just fantastic. I've done all kinds of weird and wonderful things and messed about in Blender and Scott and made things to help my cases fit together and ridiculous and things to hold cards and smoke rings and all kinds of stuff for my cases. It's fun. I really enjoy it. And this is going to be fantastic. There's flexibility and the price is phenomenal just to be able to buy these armies at that rate to then even so I'm in a double-line in a position of really there's one I'm focusing on but actually getting all of them is the no-brainer because the price is so good that it's lots of things to be able to print and paint and I realized that that's a primary part of the hobby for me quite a long time ago during COVID specifically. I realized that I sat and painted a whole droid army for Star Wars Legion during COVID during the lockdowns.
Yeah,
I didn't care that I wasn't playing the game. I just didn't care. And I realized that actually that's the driving force for me is building stuff and painting things. Is I've always spent more time doing it because you just do because it takes more time than playing a game. But actually if I did that and didn't game, I thought they were tied together. I thought one drove the other. And I think that was true when I was younger. And I do enjoy gaming. And I think if I wasn't gaming, what I painted would be different.
Yeah.
I would definitely still build models and paint them or print models and paint them, even if I wasn't gaming.
Well, I think just looking at the costings of this one, it's, say, $300 for everything?
Yep.
Yeah.
$300 for everything. Plus, let's say a decent... let's say we're going to go in on a resin printer. You're probably talking less than a couple of hundred quid now for a resin printer.
Yes.
So you're about £500 for three armies worth of stuff, resin, or if you're doing it with filament, practically negligible.
Yeah.
Versus, let's say you wanted to buy, where are we? Two Wintercore core expansion. That's £250. Sorry, £260. Like by the
bare fraction.
Yeah, you can buy three armies in the printer. Or not much more than just buying the basics for an actual models based faction. I can appreciate.
I was going to say, I know what I spent on Crucible Guard because in the back in the day, and that was probably the most expensive. Well, it probably wasn't the most I spent on army, but it's the most I spent in quick succession. So I knew what I'd spent, and I know my Crucible Guard level was most of a grand because it came out quite quickly, and I bought everything. Because it was a lot of money in a short period of time. Clearly, I spent more than that on trolls over the years. Because I just bought tons and tons of trolls. The troll army was huge by the end. I even kept a spreadsheet of all my games to justify that cost to know how much per game that army came out to. I did it. It's very sad, but it was just to kind of go, okay, I know I spent a grand, over about six months, I know that I spent a grand on that army. I've still got it. I still have the whole army. But now, well, Crucible Guard, you can go and buy all the stuff for Crucible Guard for about £300 and print it yourself. It's quite astounding how much cheaper you can with 3D printing and buying the designs.
Yeah.
And they're not going to be doing it for Signar and Kador and other factions, but I think for these niche factions and who knows what will come out as current factions get phased out when we don't know.
Well, I was going to say you said they're not going to do it for Signar and Kador. I can imagine a world where once Wintercore goes to they said they're going to switch them into the Legends eventually.
Yeah.
Once they go there, do you then just throw the entire lot up as STLs and go, have at?
This is something I was talking to Kurt about, and I think it's the only real misstep of the Frontier campaign, is in certain marketing materials, they've been billing it as this is a great entry point for the game and trying to attract those, let's say, more money-conscious players with, look, you can get in and do this. None of these armies are beginner-friendly. they all have a gimmick or something that makes the army a lot more complicated to play.
I think
if SFG wanted to really push the attractiveness to get people in, I would say take a look at the Kador and Signa two-player starter with Vilkul and Kane.
Honestly,
it's not going to happen because they've spent a ton of money on hips molding.
No, but they could pull an equivalent thing. They could do something that's kind of similar, somewhat, yeah, a different kind of fulfill a similar. I see where you're going though. Yeah,
there is a definite popularity curve for that product. It's all characters. There isn't anything you can spam out of it, and there will be a sales decline that they will have factored in. At the tipping point in that decline, give the STLs for it away for free. People who can print it will print it. People who can't print it, they've still got the option to buy any remaining stock from the
You've just preempted something that I was actually going to say. Like, when comes the point where they go, we can afford to put one caster, two warjacks per side into a free STL pack and just have that as a demo tabletop?
Yeah, absolutely. And you want something to get people in. You want it to be indicative. And to be perfectly honest, the Mark IV starter armies, Signar, Kador, and Orgoth, are about as vanilla as they get in Mark IV. These are great armies for people to be testing the water with and learning with.
The only thing is, would you pick the current Battle Box cast? I'm not sure. Kador, I'd put Borishuk in there, but that's a personal guess. He's the nominated Battle Box cast.
No, I'd be saying Vilkul and Kane.
partially because they are both just, yeah, high level assassins. It gives you a comparative game to run off, I suppose.
I think you want something a bit simpler. You almost want a striker kind of on one side and a sorcerer on the other, almost esque casters.
I knew you were gonna go for that one. That is the class.
Don't mind, I don't play Kador, never play Kador, never will play Kador, just for the pair of you.
I mean yeah, you are kind of right in that Vilkul has taken the spot that Sorcia did, that Sorcia had.
She's Sorcia and Strakov had a baby.
Yeah, effectively. And Kane is still Kane. What can you say about Kane, to be honest?
I love him.
Yeah.
I do love Kane a bit too much. It's true.
Especially now they've moved him back to his Mark II rules.
Yeah, he's so good.
Like, but what if we took that feat away and just gave him pew, 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 pew again? Like, oh no. Oh no. Yeah, having a simplified battle box printout be interesting. As well as that, what you could do is, you know, people sign up for their demo game. They come to the store, they play their demo game. There you go. You can have the models to take home with you as the start of your faction.
Yeah,
I hadn't considered that, but that's an amazing idea.
Yeah, that's dangerous, isn't it? So
it brings a whole new meaning to the first one's free.
Yeah,
yeah.
We've called it plastic crack forever. And it's absolutely right. You start and it just expands. He says, surrounded currently by War Machine models, he with two sitting one side and the aberration on the other.
It's good job that you haven't got countless 40k armies as well, and you don't start a new 40k army every year, and that doesn't happen either.
I mean, I'm not saying that my pint of cider is next to two sprues of Sisters of Battle. however, yeah. Yeah, we can talk about that.
I'm no better, mate. I'm no better at all. I'm exactly the same.
No, we this is the problem. We are now at that point in the year where work sees fit to go, and we have not done terribly this year. So here, have some money.
I don't have that. I don't get that.
You at public sector.
The only way we get it in the NHS, right, is because they delay our pay rise for 6 months and you get it all in one go. It's the only way it feels that we're similar. Yeah. I mean, they're not doing that this year. We're getting it straight away this year for the first time in like two decades.
Oh, we also have the 3 month delayed pay rise where they're catching up.
Oh, this time it's actually coming in April for the first time in design of.
As is meant to be December, but never happened. But yes, it's that delightful period of the year where work goes, here is some money. And I know certainly last year was yes, but what if I owned a Grey Knight's arm? Yeah, and then this year I do actually own. Okay. So anything more we need to say on the Frontiers campaign?
I suppose only that you need to... This pricing level is only available until the 1st or the 31st, and then it will come to the store and will be significantly more expensive. I think it will be 149 per army. 146, I think, if you're already a subscriber. So you get... There's a small saving if you're already a subscriber, but it's still going to be significantly more expensive if you don't back the Frontier.
It is somewhat confusing when you're kind of reading through the save being on army bundles.
Yeah,
and,
it
and,
is.
And it's like $149 for Grimkin. Save $441 on digital store price. And then in brackets, $146 if you're already a tribe subscriber. It's like, okay.
So when we were trying to work out how much this will cost, I went and looked at the Crucible Guard, not the ones I bought, the Crucible Guard that are on the store now. On War Machine, my manufacturer, you can buy all of Crucible Guard. And that comes in, if you buy all of it, to around $400. I think 441 is probably pretty close to what it costs to buy. I haven't accurately worked it out to that degree, but it was around £400. But you don't necessarily need everything. So I was like, what do you need? What don't you need? And came in, I came in thinking, okay, so if it's $300, £300 is what I worked out it came to, roughly, to buy the essential bits and pieces. So my guess was, I guess the pricing of this fairly accurately on the basis that they would then halve it for subscribers. They haven't done that, but it is about half that in dollars. And then you get discounts for buying multiples, and you get basically 2-for-1 if you buy 3 of them. So yeah, I think that pricing is based on how it will be in the store without any tribe discount or anything else. The full price of it, if you're not a subscriber, that's what the price is going to be.
Yeah.
But even then, that's still cheaper than buying an army.
Yeah. One thing to note as well, that it also says, for the technically minded about these things, when you buy this, you get them in STL and LYS, not something I'm familiar with, but they are available both in pre-supported and clean variation. So if you want, if you want to do your own supports for any particular reason, you can.
Certain models are a bit easier to because I'm printing in filament rather than in resin, so I've messed about with both.
It's also good
to have flexibility.
There is also a starter pack variation, a command
essentially
starter.
Which
for $29, it's fine. I wouldn't say it's the best of deals, but if you just want some stuff, if you want a painting project, well, Grimkin are very nice for that one.
Yeah.
But just, you know, please don't choose Infernals because we don't need more of them in the game. Thank you.
I make no promises.
I mean, that's the thing that's going to be interesting for me about the Welsh is, this is also timed perfectly for people to have an army for the Welsh out of this. And Infernals was doing quite strong, even without model availability. So now that things are available, it's going to be interesting to see the take-up and faction breakdowns.
Yeah.
I watched Spellrack at lunchtime, and Convergence already rising in their number of games, matched quite significantly.
I'm not surprised. I really am not. I've just seen the money this has taken already. Okay.
Yeah, doing all right, isn't it?
$182,000. So it's not nothing. It's not nothing.
Nope.
It's got over 700 people invested in it, which is, you know, again, a not insignificant amount of people for, you know, another war game. So, yeah. And unlike certain other war games I've been listening to about recently, this one actually, you know, will deliver.
Cool.
Watching occasional community drama for war games is just like, oh no, it's all going wrong again. It's like, was it Dust? Was it Dust? Just kind of exploded.
Oh, Dust Tactics.
Yeah.
Dust Tactics, yeah.
That one kind of was riding high for a bit, and then it got into a bit of a rocky scene between two companies. It's like, oh no, back away from that. Because I had been thinking...
Then you can get into the whole hoo-ha about things like Relic Knights and stuff, can't you, as well? But let's not go there.
Yeah, no, we don't talk about what's sat in my lockup. Still in the box, mostly in the cellophane, just because of when it arrived.
Oh, my God.
Well, this is the thing. That Kickstarter took so long to deliver...
2.5 years?
Yeah, but one of the people who...
The dopamine had well worn off.
Well, that's the thing. One of the people who bought into it had moved it to Scotland. One of the people who bought into it, being me, had moved down to Basingstoke. And then that left like 2 or 3 people in the original area who were sort of invested and played a couple of games and went, yeah, it's all right.
Yeah.
And moved on with their lives. So, I've still got pretty much a full army of the Paladins and I think the Pirates. Like, just sat there in a box. That's before we get into the whole... What became of the company that did that?
Yeah. You know what's just occurred to me, hearing about games that have floundered?
Oh, go on.
We know SFG have the Warcaster 40K license as part of their bundle as well.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
This release strategy would certainly get me to try it.
I hadn't even thought that. I think I would too. I think I would do that too.
That's an interesting one.
That's a very good stretch.
I think if they're gonna try anything with that, they're a long way off it at this point. I think they're still they've had a strong rebuild for War Machine, especially if you see especially if you've seen the I can't remember where the sales charts have gone. I've closed that page and slept since then.
But they've gone from 10th to 4th. Is that where you're going to go with the most popular war game?
It's either 4th or 3rd. But they are high up on that list now. Out of nowhere. Mm. Like, for a game that people say, nah, they did, the game's dead.
Yeah.
12 months ago.
There will absolutely be a gulf between them and the next one up on the chart. But the fact that they've leapfrogged such things as Marvel Legion. Crisis Protocol is insane. Yeah.
Atomic Mass, I think, have their own unique set of problems. I think with the recent announcement on what's happening with Shatterpoint, in that being shuttered.
I don't know. What is happening?
There's no more Shatterpoint.
They're working through their current roadmap, and it's unclear what will happen at the end of that. But it's not one of their core games anymore, is for definite what the message is.
I mean, it's not like I play it, but I like having it. But I don't play it.
I think as well...
I love the models.
Yeah, I think the models could all be moved over to Legion, more or less.
Way too big.
Oh, they're too big.
Way too big.
Oh,
way too big.
I thought they were
the
same
scale. Crisis Protocol size. They're the same size as Crisis Protocol.
See, I've never played Crisis Protocol or Legion, so I don't know the...
They're almost twice the size.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. Yeah. Okay.
Tom and I both own the games and stuff, but never played it? I don't think ever played it. We talked about it a lot, but we never actually played it.
Yeah, we talked about it. I have definitely played a bunch of Shatterpoint. Quite enjoy it. And I wouldn't mind it if the club had someone to take up the leadership role for Marvel, because I'd quite happily play more of that.
I mean,
I can't headline two games.
I also don't want to give up time where I want to play War Machine.
Yeah.
Because time's limited as it is, so that's just a getting older thing. And yeah, anyway.
Oh, I'm trying to find these ICV2 numbers now.
I remember seeing the chart, but I can't remember where it's at. Social media somewhere, I think.
Yeah, I find the ones for 2024. Finding 2025 is difficult.
I came out at Gamma, if that helps you. Search query at all.
It did, you're right.
Found the slide deck.
Excellent radio.
Yeah, it is. Ah, there we go. Okay, so top 10 for fall 2025. In 10th, we have HeroClix by WizKids, which it's been a long time since I've heard anything about that. 9th, Dungeons and Lasers by Archon, which I'm not entirely
familiar. Nope.
8th, Marvel Crisis Protocol. And 7th, Star Wars Legion, which, yeah, you kind of expect they're going to be there or thereabouts. 6th, D&D Icons of the Realms. And 5th, Knowles' Marvelous Miniatures, both by WizKids. 4th, War Machine. 3rd, Age of Sigmar. 2nd, Battletech. And 1st, 40K. But yeah, for War Machine in but a year to go from 10th to 4th, which, yes, obviously, as you said, there's going to be a gap there. But, just dropping off the face of the earth. Song of Ice and Fire, Bones, Halo, Flashpoint, they're all gone from the previous. So, it is interesting just how much of a resurrection. But it just shows that they've been very careful with what they've done.
Mm-hmm.
Which, long may it continue.
It's not been without issue.
Oh, God.
But
no.
They're certainly doing well with it.
I would say, yes, there have been issues, but I also think that in general, if SFG sense that a fuss is being kicked up, they respond.
They don't hide from it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
And I think that's commendable.
Yeah.
Whether their decisions are always entirely right or not is a matter for the future to tell. But I think what's been done so far has generally benefited the game.
I mean, more players definitely benefits the game, and if they're engaging a wider player base, then can't argue with that.
One thing that I would like them to do, although I don't think they're going to do it before they do the app refresh, is now they're bringing back Convergence, Grimkin, Infernals, Crucible Guard. Put them on the main faction list again. Is it available for general sale? You might as well put them there. It's giving you a bit more...
Apparently that's coming, but the way that the app is currently coded is it's an insane amount of work to move an army from Armies of Legend to Prime.
Why does this not surprise me? In any other... I could go into it, and it's gonna be a very boring conversation except for those IT nerds amongst you. Like in any sane world, that would just be like one variable in a JSON file that you just flick, and there you go, where it would be a chain. But the company that makes the War Machine app certainly has its own style of doing things, not always in the most efficient way. That's the kindest way of saying it.
It will be interesting to see if they announce anything about that in their Adepticon keynote in, 4 days? 3 days?
Yes, something like that. It's it's the back end of this week. I mean, they have already said they're redoing the app, which makes sense. But, I suppose it was already redone for Mark 4 and Mark 3. And it is, I would say, it's still the gold standard amongst wargaming apps.
It is, but mostly because of the
same app. It couldn't be better.
It could be better. Yeah.
Most of its praise is on the basis that others are so bad.
I mean,
it works. It does the job. It works. And the fact that it transitions between devices is quite nice, because that is easy to say about how something should be easy, something should be hard. To have synchronizing databases cross-platform, I think technically it's one of those things that can be difficult. Unique keys and how things transfer and how things are held.
Yeah.
Without me getting too geeky and dry. That can be a difficult thing to do. Having worked with clinical systems where you're trying to get patient data to move from one system to another, I don't just mean, let's not get into that either. I think they have that right, but no, it has its own problems. I hate how slow it is at times. Even though I've got a fairly new phone, you just click on it and you go, did I touch that? Did I not touch that? And just when you get to the point of going, I'll touch it again, it then takes both your clicks and takes you through two screens, and you're like, what deck am I in?
Yeah.
Do you want to know something really fun? You know, it's got the Share Army to QR code button.
Yes.
No one ever uses it, but it's there. Yes. That will give you like 4 to 6 QR codes that are absolutely massive.
They are
to scan
insane.
In sequence. This is because if you put them in a normal QR code to text format, they are actually just listing out every single model and all the stats and everything about it. To
even though you have a share code that's 6 digits.
Yeah.
What? Wasn't the freaking QR code the 6 digit? What?
The difference is that the share code, it's kind of, it's putting the list online and saying, yeah, this is list number 21681.
Temporarily, yeah.
And that's available for X number of hours. Whereas with the QR code, it's going, okay, I'm doing this offline and I need the other device to see the entire army piece by piece. Yes.
But you could still do that. You could say, rather than Boris Yuk, Great Bear, Dire Wolf, you could just have it
shorthand.
As ID, shorthand, ID numbers. This is Cador Caster number 1, Warjack number 1 with arm 2 and arm 4. But no, it's doing it off.
Believe,
long form.
You are preaching to the choir, my friend. however, as said, the developer of the app, I think they worked with what was requested. And there's like there's both a technical shortfall and also probably a shortfall in requirements that has created what we have, which is fine, works. There's so many places where you can see, oh, that could be improved. Oh, that could be improved. Oh, that could be changed.
And they are. We know they are.
Yeah. It is an effort of improvement.
Indeed.
So,
aren't we all?
Yes. Yes, I'm aging like a fine cheese.
Ew. Delicately put, sir.
Yeah. Okay. So we discussed Frontiers, we discussed events we've been to. I think there was anything else on the list for today, was there?
I don't think so. We talked a little bit about the new things that we're talking about. We don't know much because we're about to have Adepticon where we'll get a metric ton of stuff to talk about, and then we'll have a whole episode to talk about what they're talking about.
Yeah.
Yep.
Means we get the tournament stuff out of the way and come back next time going, what the hell was that? Oh look, men off the back. Yeah.
So exciting.
Oh, so happy. Yeah.
Matt's going to be so happy announcing that, or any level of men off. You can just hear it, can't you? He was he's happy enough just talking about last year.
I will say, we will get to see more Fane of Nairo as well.
Yeah.
So,
I'm trying to not think about them. Yes.
what else is on that list to watch? Just it. I'm guessing we'll probably see some more Reaper cover.
I would expect so. Yeah. I think my money's on that being the next army after Nero, just because we had the two-player starter for it with
maybe just throw this out there, maybe they could get an army icon. Just
steady,
just throw that out there, you know. We're not quite approaching how long the blank unit symbols were there for in Warroom 2 for Mercs, where it's like, Do we have these models? No, just put them in the app and put a white square.
I mean, Cruise of God's been like it in the current app for a while. They have sorted out, I think, now. I think they all have colour pictures now, I think. I'm not totally sure. And I've said that out loud. I'm not confident. Yes.
This also does coincide with a bug in the app where legitimately SSG or Lauren did not know that there was a bug with displaying the images because people just accepted it as normal that they were getting a blank square. They shared a screenshot of their view of Crucible Guard and all the pictures were there and everyone's going like, well, where the fuck are my pictures?
Yeah.
I've got to say, Gearheart and Mr. Clog, they're blank on mine. So.
Yeah.
There you go.
They didn't even know there was a bug because people are so jaded with the state of the app that they not even logged it.
Yeah. And then you've got random ones like the Rocket Man Stinger is a piece of line art.
The heavy medium base infantry, the newer one. The failed experiments, they were line art for ages as well.
Still are. And as are the containment operatives.
Wow. Anything that came out towards the end, that case, then by the side of it.
Yeah.
Those are all things that came out. Those are the things I don't own because they came out after the initial release. And it was hard to get here as well.
And no one expected that sort of stuff to come out anyway. So. But yes, you're right, very hard to get here. Well, I will say they have gone ahead and put the pictures in for the Triumvirate. Just they got full colour model pictures for...
The new one, the new unit.
For
new
Marie, Rosalind and Hieronymus. Which, I'll be honest, as a collection of names... Marie, this is Rosalind and this is Hieronymus. It's like,
quite Shakespearean. So it should be in As You Like It, but obviously that's just Rosalind.
Yes, anyway. Should we move on to... any other business?
Absolutely.
Okay. Top to bottom. Dom, what's your any other business?
I've been sat here painting some of my Umbrae shifters. I now have...
Oh, God, really?
Yeah. Two baby bears and one papa bear who are 75-80% done.
For science,
a lot more than they were at the beginning.
For science, I think we should see how well the papa bear bounced.
That's fine. I got spares because they did that mishap and everyone got extra bears.
Oh, nice.
No. But yeah, it's not a whole lot for me, just slowly painting bears.
Okay, cool. Kurt, what's your end of the business?
Well, I am painting. You may or may not know, well, you probably have because you used to post on social media. I used to make proxies, especially for larger models, colossals. I'd make 3D cardboard proxies, print three different sides of the model and make like a paper sort of craft proxy of a model before the models came out, so I'd get them on the table, especially in the local club. Wouldn't try to take it to an event. So I've done something similar, but with a whole army this time. I recognised that I had a bit of an interest in Convergence of Cirrus, and I thought, I know, let's just see before the models come out. I want to play with them a bit and see how we get on. So I spent quite a lot of time messing about with 2D to 3D, like making your own STL print files using 2D images or a few collections, maybe a couple of images in some cases, but most of the time it was one image. And I've got a whole army that I printed as proxies. I'm not trying to claim that there is proper ones. They're not very, very few of them. A few would pass, but very, very few.
We should say for this that, you know, you are invested in the full-on...
I will be on Friday, yes, yeah. Absolutely. So. Yes, in no way am I trying to pretend that these are those. No. This is purely for proxying in the club, at the local club, just to try different lists and armies out. And initially, I sprayed them silver just because they're robots and clockwork. But actually, I've been putting more paint on to experiment with a painting scheme. So that's what I've been sat here this evening with some jacks and with Axis, just messing about, just to trying different things, or, well, the same thing, but trying to improve and ensure that I like the idea of the paint scheme. So, yes, so I've had a proxy army that I've been playing for a few weeks, and absolutely, as soon as the army's released, I will start printing and painting the proper Convergence of Cirrus army, because I really enjoyed them. And I'm not... I was very derogatory about them in the past, Mike. I remember playing Tim with his and just going, I've got no idea what any of it is. All looks the same. It's all called the same thing. Just do whatever you like. I don't know. I remember saying that. And some of the names are quite similar and some of the things look quite similar. But once you get into it, I do quite like it. It's weird. I like it. Yes, that's my only business that I'm sitting here painting fake Convergence, awaiting the proper one.
Yeah, I was going to say that the names are still very much kind of...
the same. Yeah.
And of course, being an old faction, they do hurt a lot.
Yeah, they haven't given... I mean, they haven't gained... Unlike the Grimkin one, we haven't gained 3-inch melee on the Colossal, though, unfortunately. There's still only 2-inch melee.
It's enough.
You don't need it. You don't need it. You've got gunfighter harpoons. You do not need 3-inch melee.
Yeah.
My on the Primaxium, I have now killed, with the harpoons, I killed Invictus in the first game, dragged Invictus across the table and ripped him in half. It was so satisfying. And then the game on Thursday, Deathjack. I watched him put him just a bit too far out from the building. And I'm like, if I just step that way, I can drag Deathjack across the table. I can feet and beat the crap. Done. It was satisfying. Sorry, Liam. It was satisfying. Kieran, sorry. Why do I call your brothers by the wrong name? I don't even know Liam. I only know one of Dom's brothers. And I have, that's not the first time I've called Kieran Liam. I don't even know his other brother. Yeah, so great fun. You're right. Dragging models across the table was great fun. Can't do it with a 120 mil, but definitely do it with an 80. It's great. How about you, Mike? What's your any other business or painting table or hobby shenanigans?
Well, my any other business is that, as is my annual tradition, I'm preparing for a Highlander 40k event up in Woolley Edge near Wakefield. And for the third year in a row, I decided, hey, let's play a different army. So out of storage has come the Sisters of Battle army, which I planned a list for. Like, great, good, it's gonna be fine. And then I remembered that large chunks of those models are still boxes. And I need to buy some of them as well. That's had to happen as well. So at the moment, currently going through with repairs because I've got things like Celestine, the Living Saint, has somewhat lost her wings, which is a
They're
problem.
Quite important.
Yeah, no, they are just little. I need to build a whole unit of Zephyrim, which is a jetpack melee unit. And I have to build the autocannon version of the Castigator, which is the only tank, well, the only main battle tank that Sisters have. So, yeah, that's going to be fun. Oh, and it all needs to be at least undercoated, preferably base coated, you know, by after Easter holidays. So, it's going to be a fun old time. Yeah, so I need to get my skates on, which is going to be delightful.
You say that, but I'm intending to try and take Convergence to the Welsh.
Yeah, but you're insane, Kurt. And you paint a good chunk faster than I do.
I can't argue with any of those statements.
Several orders of magnitude. I actually do need to catch up with painting for the Welsh, because I think I'm close-ish on lists I want to take already, and there's not a huge amount of painting that needs to be done. It's mostly things like Warjack weapon, things like that. Yeah.
Are you Wintercore? Taking Wintercore?
Yeah. Yeah. Because, well, this is the thing. Once you have that much of an army painted and there are fully painted events going, it's like, well, I should probably just take what I have that's already painted, because then I don't need to spend 300 hours doing way more stuff.
Don't really understand what you mean, but I'll take your word for it.
This is why I would like to take Umbre to the Welsh, but in reality, it's more likely going to be Grimkin, because they are all painted.
Lots
of new shiny rule.
Yep. No, understandable. We have actually seen vague rumblings, for those who sort of follow the larger event, that War Manchester, not this year but next year, may ought to have something more of a painting requirement, which kind of, you know, there's a lot more events now in the UK that do seem to be following that play it painted philosophy.
Well, if they aren't arena events, then they're going to have to be, don't they? I think if they're qualifiers.
Yeah. But War Manchester isn't Iron Gauntlet.
Right, sorry, not Iron Arena. Yes, you're right, yeah. Iron Gauntlet. Yeah.
I mean, speaking of Iron Arena, we do have Lock and Load coming up, which I have booked for. I need to book a hotel for it as well, which I'll sort that at some point. I intend to be inhabiting the casual play area for the weekend.
Likewise.
So I did have a look at what events they've said that are there for sign up. As far as I'm aware, there is going to be another keynote there, at least of some sort. So
yeah,
that's going to be interesting. But yeah, it's going to be interesting, because it's going to be the first Lock and Load in the UK for a good number of years.
I think you could say ever, and I was like, wait, what?
Yep, there was a Lock and Load.
There was.
Was there?
Yep.
Well,
it launched Mark 3.
It was a Smogcon, but it...
No, it was Smogcon.
No. Oh, dear, did neither of you remember? So
there was Smogcon that was stopped in favour of Lock and Load.
Nope.
Which didn't materialise, and then it was Bonescon.
Nope.
The last one, but so, before that there was a... Okay.
Lock and Load, the launch evening of Mark 3, at the Northwest Gaming Centre, there was an all-nighter. We had the rebroadcast of, jokingly called the keynote, from the States. And that was the point where the models were made available for purchase. And yeah, you could buy your Mark III same time and place, same time and date as the US folk. And yeah, That was Lock and Load EU, way back on day of launch of Mark III.
I thought you were talking about the SmogCon that was up Heathrow. That was that had massive presence and felt like a Lock and Load.
But... Oh yeah, that effectively was what Lock and Load. I mean,
in all but name, yeah.
What it was meant to be, and then that kind of just, yeah.
It was kind of a dry run for the thing that didn't happen.
We'll just say that it didn't happen because I know there's a lot more machinations behind the scene.
Yes, let's not go there.
And Bones Con kind of fell out of that, what have you. Yes. So if you do want to find us at Lock and Load, we will. Well, at least two of us will be in the casual play area. Kurt, are you attending or
not currently?
Okay. I was iffy, and I thought. Currently. I think yeah. I'll discuss what's on my mind after the event. See how it goes.
Cool.
Okay. Well, I think that is everything. So you've been listening to Elite Cadre, the War Machine podcast that doesn't take yourself too seriously. I've been Mike.
I've been Kurt.
And I've been Dom.
Say goodbye, Nick.
Bye, next.
Listening to Elite Cadre, a War Machine podcast. Music provided by Martin DeBont and Symphony of Spectres. For more details on War Machine and its upcoming releases, please visit steamforge.com.